ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय By the grace of our Srila Prabhupada and those exalted, compassionate acharyas of our parampara, the doors have opened for all of us to spend this priceless time together in Sri Vrindavan Dham, where the opportunity to access the highest treasure of prema bhakti is being given to all of us simply by our sincerity to serve, our enthusiasm to hear, to chant, and the intensity of our prayer. There is no impediment. The Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us the only real impediment to pure devotional service is our own lack of desire. Material obstacles only serve as greater impetus for pure devotional service. If we have that sincerity, in the association of devotees, following in the footsteps of the great souls, we can all be empowered with that sincerity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna and Sri Radha, in the one supreme most munificent form of the Lord, brought with him his loving eternal associates from the spiritual world. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Krishna himself, took the form, or let us say the role, of a devotee to teach by his example. Similarly, these most exalted gopis and gopas of the spiritual world did the same. How to actually connect the infinite depth of the mercy that is in Vrindavan was especially taught to the world by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the six Goswamis and their associates and their descendants. When Lord Chaitanya was in Ramkeli, which we described the other day, he was performing kirtan with millions of people. Late at night, in a secluded place, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and their brother, Anupam, came to meet the Lord. Anupam's son, who was later to be known as Jiva Goswami, was witness to this historical event. He saw with his eyes and felt with his heart three of the wealthiest, most powerful, learned people in the world. Their beauty, their knowledge, their influence, popularity, the land that they owned, the palaces that were built for them, were unparalleled. But yet they saw. He saw his father and two uncles coming incognito in very simple dress in the middle of the night. They put clumps of straw between their teeth, fell to the ground before at the lotus feet of the Lord and wept tears and prayed, manifesting the deepest, most genuine emotions of humility, declaring themselves to be the most fallen, the most unqualified. They came to the Lord not as billionaires, but as beggars. Little Jiva, who was just a small boy, he saw his father and uncles in this state. What an impression that had in his heart. And he saw the beautiful form of Thakur Haridas, who was constantly chanting the holy names, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who brought Rup Sanatan and Anupam before Lord Chaitanya. And he saw that most magnificent, splendid, golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, placing his feet upon the heads of his father and uncles, embracing them and showering mercy upon them. From that moment, this little boy enshrined the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in the core of his heart and wished for nothing else but to follow in the footsteps of his uncles, who were willing to give up everything of this illusory world for the one supreme reality of devotional service. Yes, he was there when Anupam, his father, and Rupa Goswami gave up everything, put all their wealth in a boat and gave it all away, and went to Vrindavan. And how his uncle, Sanatan, was put in prison for his unwillingness to enjoy the pleasures of this world. When that little Jiva heard the news of how his father and Rupa Goswami were coming back from Vrindavan, how they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, and when they returned to Bengal, his father passed away from the world. When little Jiva heard that, he was beside himself with grief. At that time, he had made little deities of Krishna and Balaram. Because Gornitai's form was so much in his heart, he naturally had this attraction for Krishna Balaram. And while other small children would be studying and playing, his only interest was to serve the deities. His mother had much wealth, but he didn't care for anything. He would sing before his little deities. He would clap and dance and offer flowers. He would go out into the forest and collect those flowers and make garlands with his own hands. He would get sweetmeats and fruits, make offerings, offer his dandavat pranams again and again and again. Day and night, he was simply immersed in serving Krishna Balaram. And when night came, he embraced Krishna Balaram to his heart very tightly and would go to sleep, crying, "When will I go to join my uncles in Vrindavan?" This is how he spent his childhood. As he grew a little older, it became more and more intensified. Vibhakti Ratnakar explains that little Jiva Goswami, at this time, teenage person, he wanted to escape from everything and just go to Vrindavan because that's where his uncles were. And he would cry, not even able to sleep, for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Advaita and Gadadhara and all of their associates' mercy. One night, he had a dream. Not exactly a dream, but a spiritual vision. There he saw Lord Chaitanya with his arms raised, with tears pouring from his lotus-like eyes, surrounded by hundreds and thousands of people, along with Nityananda Prabhu, the Panchatattva, Haridas, and all of his most close associates. They were all dancing and dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inundating the universe through this kirtan, as he induced everyone to raise their arms in total humility, reaching out for the shelter of the Lord, crying out loudly, filling all directions with the holy names. In this vision, the innermost fulfillment of his desires were being manifested. Suddenly, the dream ended. Jiva Goswami woke up. He wanted to be back there in the spiritual world with the Lord. There's an example given that if someone is in poverty for so many years, and then that person is given a tremendous amount of wealth, and suddenly all that wealth is lost, how you cannot think of anything else. Jiva Goswami was yearning, longing for that dream to carry on, crying out, "Oh Lord Gauranga, oh Lord Nityananda." He fell unconscious. And then he had another vision. His deities of Krishna Balaram, they appeared in their original forms. There was Lord Sri Balaramji, who had a beautiful complexion like a spring cloud, lotus-like eyes, and a splendid blue-colored chador and dhoti, carrying a plow, glancing mercifully upon Jiva Goswami. And there was Krishna, who had the complexion of a tamal tree, the peacock feather ornamenting his beautiful curling hair. He was standing in a threefold bending form. His cloth was golden and shining like lightning. He glanced mercifully upon Jiva Goswami. And then Nityananda Prabhu, Balaramji Prabhu, Balaram transformed into Lord Nityananda. And Krishna became Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya spoke to Jiva Goswami. He said, I am entrusting you under the care of Lord Nityananda. From this day on, you are his property. And Lord Nityananda spoke to Jiva Goswami. He said, it is my wish that you make Lord Chaitanya your life, your soul, and your everything. Then the dream disappeared. From that day on, there was nothing that could keep Jiva Goswami home. One day, he told his mother and other relatives that he was going to visit some relatives in one of their ancestral homes. And when he came out of their sight, he told the boatman to take him to Navadvip. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he had heard that Sri Nityananda Prabhu was in Mayapur Dham. When he arrived, he went to the house of Srivas. Srivas greeted him and said, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is in my home waiting for you. And Jiva Goswami surrendered his heart and soul to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him and offered to take him on a personal tour of the nine islands of Navadvip. He first brought him to the Yoga Peet, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within this world and where he performed his pastimes of the first 24 years of his life as Navadvip Chandra, as the son of Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi and Vishnu Priya, the mother and the previous wife of Lord Chaitanya, were still there with Bamsi Vadana, who is the personal assistant of Sachi Devi. They were practically emaciated thin in separation from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their separation knew no bounds. But when they saw Jiva Goswami, they became so happy because they felt that Lord Chaitanya was sending such a special personal associate of his for them to serve. Sachi Mata ran in the house and cooked with her own loving hands prasad, and they served Nityananda Prabhu, Jiva Goswami, and Srivas And together they all shared beautiful Gaur Katha, pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami from place to place. Not only was he telling them the stories of the Lord's leelas, but at times he was lifting the curtain of the Dham and actually showing Jiva Goswami Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal pastimes of Navadvip. In some places, Nityananda Prabhu gave Jiva Goswami the realization and the vision where he could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and singing with all of his devotees, taking prasad with his devotees. Our beloved Acharya Bhaktivinod Thakur has recorded the essence of this parikrama in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya and has presented it to all of us. At the end of this parikrama, Nityananda Prabhu told Jiva Goswami that Lord Chaitanya has given Sri Vrindavan Dham to your family. You should go to Vrindavan and there dedicate the rest of your life in the service of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu, knowing the innermost heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understood the mission of Sri Jiva Goswami. He was going to be empowered to be the greatest philosopher, the greatest scholar of spiritual philosophy and knowledge that the world has ever seen. He sent him to Varanasi to study under a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose name was Madhusudan Vachaspati, to thoroughly learn the Vedic scriptures according to the conclusions of pure bhakti. Surrendering his life to Nityananda Prabhu and taking his leave, Jiva Goswami went to Varanasi. He spent some years there. Such a scholar he became, with such character, with such devotional qualities and humility, that his fame spread throughout the land. And when he completed his studies, he took that journey to where we're sitting today, Sri Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami, the eldest, senior most of the Goswamis, he offered Jiva Goswami to Srila Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami wanted to teach the world through his own disciple. For about a year, Jiva Goswami just did the most simple menial services. Here he was. He was the son of billionaires. He was a world famous erudite scholar of scriptures, of languages. He was purely renounced. He had ecstatic love for Krishna. But yet he was very happy, very enthusiastic to perform any type of little service. Srila Rupa Goswami had him cleaning the temple, cleaning the place where people were living, sweeping the floor. He had him arranging for the paraphernalia for Radha Govinda Dev so that Rupa Goswami and the pujaris could do the artis and the pujas and the archana. Jiva Goswami was just doing the backup little things. He would massage Rupa Goswami's legs and feet. And Rupa Goswami was writing books. And Jiva Goswami, he wasn't writing then. Rather, he was preparing the pens. Because in those days, you didn't go to Loy Bazaar and buy a pen and paper. He had to make pens. However they were made in those days, whether they were out of twigs from trees or feathers, and he would make the inks out of herbs from the ground that he would dig with his own hands, and he would prepare the palm leaves and the other types of paper that would be used. He was just the servant of the servant of the servant and wanted nothing else. Because in bhakti, where there's love, there is no question of high or low according to relative positions. In Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya showed us that Kolaveta Sridhar, he was not well educated. He was just a simple seller of banana leaves and flowers and every now and then some fruits. Nobody ever heard of him. But after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquered and transformed the heart of the Chankazi, he went to Kolaveta Sridhar's house and drank the water from his beaten old water pot just to show the world that the greatest of all wealth is devotion. Lord Chaitanya said, "For the first time in my life, I am tasting love of Krishna like never before because I am drinking the water from this old dented pot that has been used by Sridhar." The ahankar, the false ego, puts us in a state where we want to be important in the eyes of this world. And in that state, if somebody is given more importance, we become envious. And in that envy, we become, in a very egoistic way, competitive. Or else we become very discouraged and depressed because we don't have that position. And if somehow or other we feel we're in a more superior position, whether it be in our knowledge or our accomplishments, or in any other way of this world, then we become very proud. But this is the very basic principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. Our happiness is in the opportunity to serve. When we are deeply grateful just to be the servant of the servant, whether we're empowered to do great things in the eyes of the world, or whether we're just empowered to sweep the floor. Krishna sees the sincerity of our intent. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, these great Goswamis, they gave us literatures that take us from the preliminary states of just coming to the path of devotion to the highest, deepest realms of Braj Bhakti, revealing to us how to be the intimate servant of the maidservants of Sri Radharani. But we must follow in their footsteps. We cannot understand what's in their books unless we imbibe, at least strive to imbibe, the qualities in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to empower them to give us this incredible knowledge. And the six Goswamis, we find their humility, their eagerness to serve, their disposition of total non-enviousness was so attractive to Lord Chaitanya that he revealed the highest treasures of bhakti to the whole world through them, and through them taught us how we can actually understand and realize it. Rupa Goswami initiated Jiva Goswami. And he became so dear to his guru. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a beautiful story of a Digvijay pundit whose name was Rupa Narayan. He came to Vrindavan. After traveling to so many places of learning throughout India, and wherever he went, he would challenge people to debate and argument, soundly defeat him. He was a powerful scholar. But his ahankar, his false ego, was even greater than his knowledge. He had a Jayapatra, which is a certificate. Anyone he defeated had to sign it. And then he would go all over the land showing everybody your name, where you admit defeat. So he heard the glories of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and he approached them and very proudly challenged them to a debate. And both Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they said, "You are such a great scholar. We're just simple people. Why should you waste your time debating us?" He said, "Well, if you don't feel qualified to debate me, then sign your name." He said, "Yes, give us the paper." They signed their names very happily. They couldn't care less. Then he approached Jiva Goswami. Oh, such an egomaniac this person was. He said, "I have defeated your father. I have defeated Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, your own guru. So now you sign." Jiva Goswami said, "They didn't even debate with them. They're just so humble, they didn't want to waste their time. So in order to protect the dignity of his gurus, he said, I will accept your challenge. They sat on the bank of the Yamuna for 7 days. Jiva Goswami thoroughly defeated him. When the news came to Rupa Goswami, he understood Jiva Goswami's intention, selfless service to protect the dignity of our sampradaya, but he wanted to teach the world through his devotee. He said, Jiva, why did you waste your time debating with that materialistic person? It's because there is still some traces of false pride in your heart. Vrindavan is not a place for anyone with any pride in their heart. You must leave. Jiva Goswami did not argue. He didn't say, Gurudev, you don't understand. He felt in the core of his heart, yes, I have false pride in my heart. Yes, I don't deserve to be here. He went to Mathura and lived in a little straw hut on the bank of the Yamuna. And there he performed severe austerities to atone for his offense, constantly crying out with tears in his eyes the holy names of Krishna, praying to become humble like a blade of grass so he could actually please his guru and be qualified to be in Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami happened to be traveling through Mathura and saw the state of Jiva Goswami, who was practically not eating or sleeping. He was just crying out the names of Krishna day and night to atone for his offenses. And Sanatana Goswami spoke with Rupa Goswami. He said, one of the prime teachings of our Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is jivadoya, compassion to jivas. And Rupa Goswami knew exactly what he meant. Rupa Goswami brought him back and personally nursed him back to health and showered his love and affection upon him and taught the world the greatness of a true Vaishnava. And Jiva Goswami taught the world the faithfulness and the loyalty to protect the dignity of our guru and our parampara. Srila Rupa Goswami, with his own hands, he carved a deity of Krishna and personally installed that deity and began performing the puja. That was Radha Damodar. Rupa Goswami, out of love for his disciple, his nephew, he entrusted the care of Radha Damodar to Jiva Goswami, who for the rest of his life worshipped Radha Damodar as his very life and his very soul. And our Vaishnava acharyas explain how they had such a loving relationship. Srila Prabhupada quotes Arche Vishnu Srila Dhira Gurushu. If we consider the form of the deity to be made of wood or stone, the guru to be an ordinary person, or a Vaishnav to be restricted to some categorization of caste or creed or race,
then Naraka Bhuti,
then our consciousness is hellish. Krishna is absolute. He is Avijna and Swarat. He is all-knowing and infinitely independent. And since time immemorial, in order to facilitate on the path of bhakti the development of personal service, meditation on his personal form through service, the Lord takes the form of the deity. One time Srila Prabhupada was challenged, how could you limit God to be in this form of wood or stone? And Srila Prabhupada, with such deep conviction, as a matter of fact, he said, how could you limit God to say that he cannot be in this wood or stone? To accept our love and to accept our devotion. Not only can Krishna, but he does accept the form of a deity. And we see the greatest of the acharyas through the history of India were worshipping the deities with such love and devotion. They were not worshipping the deity, the Archamurti, as a symbolic representation of the absolute truth, but they understood that the full-fledged absolute truth was personally manifesting in this form to receive our love and to bestow his love. Shankaracharya worshipped Narasimha Dev, Badrinath in Joshimath, and Badri Vishal in Badrinath. Ramanujacharya worshipped Ranganath in Sri Rangam. Sripad Madhvacharya worshipped Udupi Krishna. Not only did they worship, but they established entire communities for generations and centuries around the very, very regulated, thorough pleasure of the deity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single day in Puri, in the early morning, he would go to worship Lord Jagannath. And it was through his devotees, the six Goswamis and others, that he established so many temples here. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established deity worships in 64 mutts throughout India. And Srila Prabhupada established Radha Krishna Gornitai, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra in almost every major city in the world. When Jiva Goswami would worship Radha Damodar, Damodar would speak to him. For the rest of us, we have to look at our clock to make sure we're on time for the offering. But Radha Damodar would tell Jiva Goswami, I'm hungry, feed me. And Jiva Goswami would cook. While he was writing these incredible books, he would be cooking for the deities. He would massage the feet of the deities. He would make little beds for the deities. One time, when Jiva Goswami was doing his seva in another room, something incredible happened. He heard the very sweet sound of Krishna's flute permeating the entire Radha Damodar temple compound. It intoxicated his heart, infatuated his mind. It was the same effect as the flute had when Krishna played under the Bamsiva tree on the gopis of Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami was listening to this flute playing, and then he heard from the deity room, Radha Damodar called out, "Jiva, Jiva, come, I'm playing for you." So Jiva Goswami went onto the altar and he saw Sri Radha Damodar. He was smiling and glancing upon him. Then he saw the Murti of Damodar playing the flute and dancing simultaneously, just for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami wept tears of humility and devotion and fell to the ground unconscious. These are just some samples of stories that are given in our Vaishnava scriptures to reveal to us what was going on practically every moment of every day for Jiva Goswami. He personally wrote over 400,000 Sanskrit verses. And the great king, Akbar, it is said when he came to Vrindavan, he met with Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami gave him a vision of Vrindavan. And through this, large tracts of land and temples were developed to build Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it was at the Radha Damodar temple, Srila Prabhupada tells us, that all the six Goswamis would regularly meet to discuss the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, to discuss the books and the mission that they were meant to give to the whole world. They would take prasad there. When Srila Rupa Goswami departed from the world, Jiva Goswami placed his samadhi in the courtyard of Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple. And as time passed, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's deity of Radha Vrindavan Chandra was brought there. Bhugarbha Goswami's deities of Radha Krishna were brought there. And in about 1959, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada made his residence in Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple to bring the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada instructed him. Through the mercy of Rupa and Jiva Goswamis to the whole world. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would confidentially tell his followers how Rupa Goswami appeared to him to bless him for his mission of going to the West in his old age. Not far from Radha Damodar Temple is Temple of Radha Shyam Sundar. In the Bengal area, there was a mother and father. They had two sons who both died when they were just babies. Then they had a third son. They named the child
dukkhi.
Dukkhi means one who is miserable. This is traditional in some places in India, that when you lose children, you want Yamaraj to feel sorry for this child. And if your name is miserable, dukkhi, then the idea is Yamaraj is going to feel sorry for you and not kill you. So little dukkhi grew up spontaneously, naturally attracted to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Whenever he would hear anything about Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda or their associates, he would run to that place with great enthusiasm. When he grew up a little, his father and mother told him it was time that he should select a spiritual master. And he said, I already have in my heart. I've heard about this person. He's a disciple of Gauridas Pandit, who is a very, very intimate, loving associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His name is Hriday Chaitanya, and he is living in Ambika Kalna. So he was sent there. And Hriday Chaitanya accepted him as his own. And he served his guru with great love and devotion. And through Hriday Chaitanya, who had taken over the service of the Gornitai deities of his guru, Gauridas Pandit, he was being trained in pure devotional service. Hriday Chaitanya sent Dukkhi. He actually initiated and gave him the name Dukkhi Krishnadas. And he sent him to Vrindavan to train and study the Goswami's literatures under Srila Jiva Goswami. When Dukkhi Krishnadas came to Vrindavan, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya were already there. And the three of them became most intimate, loving friends and brothers. Narottam Das Thakur was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami. Srinivasacharya, a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Dukkhi Krishna was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. But because they were all serving their gurus, who were all united and one in heart in the service of the six Goswamis and one in united in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was no boundaries to the intimacy of their affection, their respect for each other. This is Vaishnav society. Jiva Goswami gave Dukkhi Krishnadas a very simple service to go every day for many hours and sweep and clean the pathways of Seva Kunj. So he would go with his little broom and get on his hands and knees and sweep. Of course, it was all dusty pathways. So as he would be sweeping, his body would be covered, his hair, his clothes, everything would be covered with the dust of Vrindavan. And he was just so grateful, so honored to do this menial service. Dukkhi Krishnadas was a very, very powerful scholar and a very advanced paramhamsa. When Krishna sees that we are grateful for the service that we have, that we don't take any aspect of devotional service to be ordinary or take it for granted, then Krishna really accepts our devotion. And that gives pleasure to him. As it has been said, nothing about Krishna consciousness is ordinary. The gopis of Vrindavan are in the highest position. They're making garlands. They're milking cows. They're churning butter. They're taking care of babies sometimes. They're doing ordinary things, but because they're doing it with such ecstatic, deep love for Krishna, even the greatest scholars and swamis and renunciates are aspiring for what they have. Happiness in Krishna consciousness is very much when we can deeply be grateful for whatever service we're allowed to do. Whether we're sitting on a crowded train where we don't even have, not even sitting, standing, we don't even have a seat, and it's so hot, there's hardly any air to breathe, and there's no water to drink. But in that state where people are pushing their elbows in our face and stepping on our feet and pushing us in all different directions and babies are screaming, and the toilet is over flooding and permeating the whole train car. Everyone from India has this experience. But in that state, I could chant Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And we're grateful. We're absolutely grateful. I'm allowed to chant Krishna's name here. By the mercy of my guru, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, there are no hard and fast rules. Even in this condition, I could chant Krishna's names. I could remember Krishna. I could pick up a book, one of Prabhupada's books, and read a line. If we're just grateful for whatever opportunity we have to serve, that gratitude is an expression of our love for Krishna. And that is what makes us happy. If we're not grateful, even if we have every type of material facility and every type of spiritual facility, and everything's just going so much exactly the way we want it to go, if we're not grateful, there could be no happiness in our heart. Because Krishna is not pleased with us. Our happiness is when Krishna is pleased with us. So this was Duki Krishna. He was absolutely in ecstasy, so grateful. I get to sweep this forest every day. On his hands and knees. Something anybody could do physically. Yes? But it was the order of Jiva Goswami, his Shiksha Guru. So he took that service as his life and soul, and he did it every day for several years. He never asked Jiva Goswami, "Can't I do something else?" This is what pleases my Gurudev. This is what pleases Krishna. And Radharani, who is Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan, who is the very origin and reservoir of all devotional service, She blesses us when she sees our sincerity. One day, as Dukhi Krishna was sweeping, he happened to see some light that was coming from under one of the bushes. And he was sweeping, 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 and there he found an incredible ankle bracelet. It was made of gold, ornamented with precious jewels. As soon as he saw it, ecstatic love awakened in his heart, and when he touched it to pick it up, just rushes of ecstasy started going through all of his limbs. And in his heart of heart, he could understand that in the eternal lila, the aprakata lila of Radha and Krishna, this was Srimati Radharani's ankle bracelet. In the lila, beyond what the mortal eyes could see, our acharyas tell us, Sri Radha and Krishna were having their lilas, and she lost her ankle bracelet. She told her most confidential assistant, Lalita Sakhi, to go and bring it to her. Lalita Sakhi disguised herself as a very simple old woman and approached Dukhi Krishna Das. Said, did you find an ankle bracelet? And Dukhi Krishna Das said, yes, I did. The old lady said, that belongs to my daughter-in-law. Please give it to me. Dukhi Krishna Das said, bring me to your daughter-in-law. I would like to deliver it myself. Seeing the purity of his devotion, she brought Dukhi Krishna Das in Seva Kunj to Lalita Kunj. And she dipped his body. And when he came out, his original spiritual form from Goloka Vrindavan was manifested as a gopi named Kanaka Manjari. Then Lalita Sakhi brought Kanaka Manjari into the eternal lila of Radha and Krishna and brought her before Srimati Radharani. As Kanaka Manjari, Dukhi Krishna Das, was about to present this jeweled ankle bracelet to Sri Radharani, Radharani took it and lovingly pressed it very firmly against his forehead and created a special tilak like no one has ever seen before. And then Srimati Radharani said, because you have pleased me so much by your devotion, I want to give you that which is most dear to my heart. From Srimati Radharani's heart manifested a deity of Krishna named Shamsundar. She gave it to Lalita Sakhi, who gave it to Kanaka Manjari. Then Lalita Sakhi said, because you have given so much happiness to Srimati Radharani, Shama, your new name will be Shamananda. But you must not tell anyone about what happened here. And then suddenly, Kanaka Manjari became Dukhi Krishna, Shamananda, in his male form, covered with dust, with his little broom in his hand.
But the deity was still with him, and the tilak was still on his head.
And when he came back to the association of all the devotees, they were wondering, what is this tilak you're wearing? But he couldn't tell them. Now, you know how devotees could be. When you do something that's not the way it's conventionally done, you could get in a lot of trouble. This is a eternal truth within this mortal realm. So they were, what is, all of a sudden you have this tilak, and now you're calling yourself Shamananda? But Srimati Radharani revealed the truth to Jiva Goswami, but he couldn't tell anyone either. So gradually the news went all the way back to Ambika Kalna, where Hriday Chaitanya was living, and he was very much worried. What's happened to my disciple? I gave him a name, now he has a different name. I gave him a tilak, now he has a different tilak. He wanted to protect his disciple. And between Vrindavan and West Bengal, you know, how many different things get added to the story? So he took the very great Mahants, liberated souls, associates of Nityananda Prabhu, brought with him all the way to Vrindavan, just to try to save his disciple. And when he asked, Jiva Goswami couldn't tell him, and Shamananda couldn't tell him. So Hriday Chaitanya was very much concerned. You're making aparads. This isn't right. He said, if this is really meant to be this tilak, then it will not come off you when I rub it off. So Hriday Chaitanya started rubbing the tilak from his forehead. And the name Shamananda was written on his chest. He started rubbing that. And he was getting more and more water and getting clay and water, rubbing and rubbing and putting tilak and everything. However, the more he rubbed it, the more it shined brighter and brighter and brighter. And eventually, it's a long story, but Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to Hriday Chaitanya and told him everything. And Hriday Chaitanya accepted that you are better than me. And Shamananda said, no, I am your obedient eternal servant. And in this day, everything was resolved in the most historical and wonderful way here in Vrindavan. So when you go to Radha Shyam Sundar Temple, the small deity on our right side of the large deity is the deity that was manifested by Srimati Radharani. And the deity of Radha, the Maharaj of Bharatpur, he offered a self-manifested deity of Srimati Radharani to stand beside Shamsundar. And the large deities are also named Radha Shamsundar. They were worshipped by Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. There is another temple, Radha Gokulananda. The history of that place, for many, many years, it was the bhajan kutir of Lokanath Goswami. He He was born in the Jessore district of what we now call Bangladesh. His father's name was Padmanabha, his mother was Sita. And they were great devotees and associates of Sri Advaitacharya. When he was a young man, he went to Sri Navadvip Dham to take shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became one of the very, very close, intimate, loving associates of Lord Chaitanya. But he felt a deep stirring in his heart. He could understand by indications that were happening that Lord Chaitanya was going to leave his wife, leave his mother, leave all of his associates in the holy land of Navadvip to become a sannyasi. The thought of it was more painful than death to Lokanath Goswami. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, he took Lokanath Goswami into confidence. And he said, very soon I am going to take sannyas. And because of the nature of your love for me, if you see this happen, you will not survive. After I take sannyas, my plan is to go to Vrindavan. So you should leave immediately. Go to Vrindavan and prepare for my arrival. Bhugarbha Goswami, who is very, very best friends with Lokanath Goswami and a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, was asked to go with him. The two of them left. It was a piteous scene. Lokanath Goswami fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bathed those beautiful golden feet with the tears of his love. He couldn't really tell what was in his heart, but he went to the feet of every devotee, begging for their blessings, and started that long pilgrimage to Vrindavan. The whole time, his heart pounding with the idea that Lord Chaitanya is going to cut his beautiful hair to become an ascetic and travel like a beggar. You see, for the devotees, the pleasure of the Lord is the only pleasure of the heart. On their way to Vrindavan, they heard the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did take sannyas. Lokanath Goswami went to Vrindavan and was waiting for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. That's all he lived for. He sent me on a mission to be here, to prepare for him, to serve him when he comes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu diverted his journey to Shantipur, where Sachi Mata and all the devotees told Lord Chaitanya, don't go to Vrindavan, go to Puri, where Krishna is living as Jagannath. And the next thing Lokanath Goswami heard is Lord Chaitanya has just gone on a tour of South India. So he was thinking, I only came to Vrindavan to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he's in South India. So Lokanath Goswami left Vrindavan and by foot walked all the way to South India, searching for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he arrived in the southern provinces of India, he heard that Lord Chaitanya had already
completed his South Indian tour, and he went back to Puri. So Lokanath Goswami walked all the way up to Puri. And when he came to the precincts of Puri, he found out that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left Puri to go to Vrindavan, where he was supposed to be waiting for him. So Lokanath Goswami, as fast as he could walk, he went all the way back to Vrindavan. Now please understand, he has been walking for years. That was his anticipation, his eagerness to serve Lord Sri Chaitanya. And finally, he arrived in Vrindavan, where he was meant to be waiting for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was the order, that was his service, the only thing he lived for. And when he finally arrived, he got the news. Lord Chaitanya traveled through the 12 forests of Vrindavan for 2 months. He stayed at Akrura Ghat. He was traveling around. He was doing his japa on the bank of the Jamuna at Imli Tal. And now he has left to go to Prayag. Lokanath Goswami fainted. And he woke up and decided, first thing in the morning, I'm going to Prayag. But that night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and told him, this is all my pastimes. I want you to stay in Vrindavan. Because very soon, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they'll all be coming. I want you to be living there with them. You remain in Vrindavan, and you will feel my presence always. This was the nature of the service attitude of these great devotees. Lokanath Goswami realized who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He is Krishna with the Mahabhava and the most resplendent golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. That Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna of Vrindavan have manifested this most munificent, merciful form of Lord Chaitanya. And he's performing his leelas in Puri. There was nothing in the world Lokanath Goswami would rather do than go back there. But it was the Lord's order that he stay in Vrindavan. And on the physical level, he never saw Lord Chaitanya again for the rest of his life. From that day when Lord Chaitanya, he never saw Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi. From the day he sent him to Vrindavan, his order was to remain there always. Lokanath Goswami started to travel throughout the 12 forests, absorbed in the mood of love and separation. And near the Kadiravan forest, there's a forest called Chatravan, where there's a village called Umrao. And in that village is Kishori Kund. Lokanath Goswami was performing his bhajan there. He would just sleep under bushes and trees. And if anybody wanted to give him anything, he wouldn't accept anything except some little roti. But in his heart grew an intense desire to have a deity to worship. When a great soul has a desire to serve, we can understand that it's Krishna within that heart of that devotee who wants to receive that service from his devotee. And that desire is actually Krishna's desire. But where is Lokanath Goswami going to get a deity living in an isolated forest in Kadiravan? One day, as he was sitting with these thoughts, this extraordinary personality came up to him and handed him deity, and then immediately left, disappeared. And Lokanath Goswami was thinking, who was that? And what am I supposed to do? He was really bewildered. Then the deity spoke. He said, my name is Radha Vinod. And I have been living in this forest for a long time, just waiting for you, Lokanath Goswami. And I have come by myself, without help of anyone else, to give myself to you. Hearing this, Lokanath Goswami was trembling. And then Radha Vinod smiled and said, I am hungry. Cook for me. So Lokanath Goswami went into the forest and started collecting vegetables and herbs and started making little fires and cooking nice bhoga. And then he made a little altar out of, you know, leaves and twigs and made a beautiful offering. He chanted beautiful mantras for the pleasure of Radha Vinod. And after he offered him the bhoga, he offered him a little arti. Then he made a bed. He went out and collected special soft leaves and flower petals and laid Radha Vinod in the bed. He massaged the lotus feet of Krishna. Then he made a fan of leaves and started fanning him and singing in great love. He wanted to build a temple. Do you know how he built the temple? He went out and begged for some simple cloth, and with his own hands he sewed a bag where he put Radha Vinod and hung it around his neck, and that was the temple. And because these deities were so beautiful, small deities, self-manifested from himself, different villagers and townspeople were coming and saying, we'll build a temple for him. He said, he already has a temple. Just hanging from his neck, he would travel around. And he lived like this for many years. And when Rupa and Sanatana Goswami made their bases here in Vrindavan, they invited Lokanath Goswami to come to live with them. So where the Radha Gokulananda temple is, there is a Samadhi Mandir of Lokanath Goswami. And that is where he had his bhajan kutir and where he worshipped Sri Sri Radha Vinod. Narottam Das Thakur was the only disciple of Lokanath Goswami. He was the son of a great king who left everything to come to Vrindavan. He literally had to escape from home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established within his heart this faith in Lokanath Goswami. But by the time Narottam Das Thakur came to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami had already disappeared from this mortal world, and Lokanath Goswami was in such deep pains of separation, ecstatic love in separation.
Lokanath Goswami told him, I cannot accept any disciple. I have no qualification.
We know the story. Narottam Das Thakur, in great humility, he didn't pressurize Lokanath Goswami to do something he didn't want to do.
He just served his guru. Secretly, on the banks of the Yamuna,
by cleaning the place where he would pass urine and stool before taking his bath. And for so many months, Lokanath Goswami was seeing how it's all being done so nicely. Who is it? How is it? So one day he came early. And he was hiding in the bushes and he saw Narottam Das Thakur performing this service. And Lokanath Goswami came out from the bushes and cried out with tears, why are you doing this? You are the son of a king. You are a great scholar and an aristocrat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally appeared to you. Nityananda Prabhu has personally appeared to you. Why, such an exalted person, are you demeaning yourself to be on your hands and knees cleaning the excrement of another man? Why?
Narottam Das Thakur, with folded palms, spoke from his heart. He said, I have renounced everything in this world, and I have achieved, by the mercy of the Lord, the highest privilege, the greatest honor and wealth of rendering personal service to my spiritual master.
Lokanath Goswami's heart melted. And soon after, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Lokanath Goswami in a divine vision and told him,
it is my will that you initiate Narottam Das Thakur.
And in the Radhagokulananda temple is the deity of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Narottam Das Thakur personally worshipped. And also the samadhi of Narottam Das Thakur is there. In the same courtyard is the samadhi mandir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was born in Devagram. Narottam Das Thakur had many, many disciples in the Khetri area of Bengal. There was one man who was one of the most celebrated aristocratic Brahmins of the area. His name was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And in those days, the caste system and the Brahminical system was very, very strong. And Narottam Das Thakur was not from a Brahmin family. And Brahmins were actually taking initiation from him. This outraged these people, the caste Brahmins. They considered it the seed of ruination of the Vedic culture. They were angry. Many were extremely envious. And some wanted to destroy Narottam Das Thakur. One time, Narottam Das Thakur and one of the disciples of Srinivasacharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, were sitting together, and two young boys, Ram Krishna and Hari Rama, they were purchasing some goats to bring to their father to offer and sacrifice for Durga Puja. And Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur just started talking about Krishna consciousness with each other, and these two little boys overheard it, and they wanted to hear more and more and more, and eventually they let the goats away, and they went back to Kateri Gram, and they got initiated by Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, one each, and he got trained in the Vaishnav system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And meanwhile, the father is waiting week after week after week. Where are the goats? And when he found out what happened, he was outraged. He was a very high birth smarta Brahman.
It was a total embarrassment that his two sons were initiated by a Kayasta, a Sudra. Horrible. So he was like fire with his sons. And his sons preached to him. And he couldn't defeat them. So ultimately, he called for the greatest scholar of the whole area, the pundit of the king, to come to debate with these children. And the children, just after a few weeks of training with Narottam Das Thakur, defeated the greatest scholars of the king. And at this time, the father was so humiliated, he was on the verge of death. And at that time, Durga appeared to him in a dream with her weapons, specially sharpened, and said that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the worshipable lords of my life, and Narottam Das Thakur is the guru for the whole world. And if you don't surrender to Narottam Das Thakur, I will do to you what you are going to do to the goats. So he surrendered. Meanwhile, this Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, how these two little children defeated the greatest scholars of the time by the power of Narottam Das Thakur. He was wishing, I need to meet this Narottam Das Thakur. I need to meet him. And one night in a dream, Narottam Das Thakur appeared to him and said, tomorrow go to the river Ganga to bathe, and I'll meet you there. So in the morning he went to the Ganga, and there he met Narottam Das Thakur, and Narottam Das Thakur preached to him, and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti became his disciple. And what a history that followed that. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti had a daughter. He had no son, but he had one disciple who he loved like his own son. His name was Krishna Charan Chakravarti. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he took shelter of Krishna Charan. But at the time, he was very, very old. So he asked his disciple, Radharaman Chakravarti, to initiate Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which he did. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he was very young, his parents got him married, but it just wasn't his nature to be married. All he cared about was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted... There's beautiful stories. He would become so totally absorbed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam that even in the summer, when there was scorching sun, there was always a cloud between him and the sun giving him shade. And one time, a king
was on a palanquin with a whole procession in a royal procession. And it started raining very heavy. And the king was getting all inconvenienced, and he was getting wet, and they couldn't shelter him from the rain. And he happened to look to the side, and there was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just sitting on the ground under the open sky, totally immersed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and the rain was falling everywhere around him, but not a drop would fall on him or his book. So the king got down and surrendered to him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came to Vrindavan. There's a story that once his guru told him that actually, you know, your wife's family, they want you to at least spend a little time with your wife. So he went back, and the whole night he just gave her Bhagavad Katha. So the wife and the in-laws and everybody just blessed him, go to Vrindavan. He didn't know anything but Krishna and love of Krishna. He went back to Vrindavan, and when he came here, please understand, this is after Aurangzeb and other very, very cruel dictators and kings. They've murdered countless devotees here. They destroyed deities. They destroyed temples. They destroyed homes. The whole culture of Vaishnavism was so much beaten down and persecuted, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came and practically single-handedly he revived the whole Gaudiya Vaishnav movement here in Vrindavan. By his own fearless, humble, intense love and devotion, he inspired the Vaishnavas, the Brijavasis. At his time, there was an incredible renaissance of ecstatic prema bhakti here in Vrindavan. And he was facing death threats and all sorts of obstacles. But with complete faith in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and that higher taste of ecstatic love for Radha Krishna, nothing could stop him. One day, a brahmachari came to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with a small deity of Krishna named Gokulananda and said, Krishna wants me to give him to you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I have no home, I have no temple, I have no money, I have nothing. How can I take responsibility? You take the deity back. And the brahmachari took the deity back. But that night, the brahmachari had another dream where Gokulananda said, bring me back to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the brahmachari told Krishna in the dream, he already refused. I tried. He said, but now he will not refuse. Because Gokulananda appeared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in a dream and said, I don't want material things. I want your love and devotion. Please accept me. And it was here that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur established the worship of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And he traveled around Vrindavan. He based himself here at the Radha Gokulananda temple for some time and spent much of his time at Sri Radha Kund, where he composed some of the deepest, most profound philosophical rasika literatures. He was perfectly and fully empowered by Srila Rupa Goswami to continue on the parampara
of the ecstatic love of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Also in the temple of Radha Gokulananda is Radha Gididhari. When we go to Govardhan, if it is Krishna's arrangement, we could speak something about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. What I'd like to speak this evening is one precious bit of history in our Vaishnav lineage. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, there was a sannyasi of the name of Shankar Ananda Saraswati who had come from Vrindavan and offered Lord Chaitanya two gifts, a Govardhan Shila and a Gunjamala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted these gifts with the highest ecstasies. In the spirit of Sri Radharani's Mahabhava, Lord Chaitanya saw the Govardhan Shila as directly the personal body of her beloved Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept that Shila with him practically constantly. And when he was in his deepest feelings of divine love, he would press the Shila to his eyes, to his forehead, press it to his heart, press him to his heart. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that practically constantly that Giriraj Shila was wetted by the ecstatic offerings of the tears of Lord Chaitanya's love. In this way, Lord Chaitanya kept the Gunjamala and the Shalagram Shila around him for 3 years. And seeing the devotion, the renunciation of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the Lord wanted to give to him what was most dear to his heart. Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were like billionaires. They were the largest landowners. They had huge influence, and he was the only heir in the entire family. But he left everything to chant the holy names of the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord, and to be the servant of the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. And at a certain time, Raghunath Das Goswami, all he was eating was from a pile outside one of the gates of the Jagannath temple, where the Jagannath prasad that was given to shopkeepers that was not sold for many days and became rotten, putrid, and spoiled were thrown into this pile, and the cows would eat it. And that which was so rotten that the cows spit it out, Raghunath, in the middle of the night when nobody was around, he would collect it and open up those rotten pieces of rice and get the hard little kernel in the middle and put a little salt on it. And that is all he ate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house and forcibly grabbed some of it and ate it. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "That's enough. That's enough. You can't eat this, my Lord." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have tasted so many sweets and so many cates and so many sabjis of Lord Jagannath, but never have I tasted any prasad so nectarine as what Raghunath Das is eating every day." Mahaprabhu Bhaktagane Vairagya Pradhan.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that renunciation is the basic principle that sustains the true devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing that renunciation in the spirit of selfless love, Lord Chaitanya tastes the greatest happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his Govardhan Shila and his Gunja Mala to Raghunath Das Goswami and personally taught him how to worship with certain number of tulsi leaves with manjari flowers. And he had Swarup Damodar Goswami get some special types of sweets for Raghunath to offer. And Raghunath Das Goswami, as he would be worshipping the Govardhan Shila, he was thinking, by giving me Govardhan Shila, my Lord has given me permanent residence at Govardhan Hill. And by giving me this Gunja Mala, my Lord has given me eternal shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. After Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, Raghunath Das Goswami came here to Vrindavan, where he spent the rest of his days as one of the six Goswamis, and he worshipped that Giriraj Shila. If you look carefully, you'll see how once when Lord Chaitanya was holding Giriraj in the ecstasy of Radha's love, Govardhan melted and his own personal thumbprint to this day can be seen. Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan and then sent the Goswamis especially to reveal it to the world. Here in Vrindavan, there are some very special places with fascinating histories. There is Niduban, which is a very beautiful kunja of small trees. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when Lord Krishna left the Rasa Leela to find Srimati Radharani, that is the place where this happened. And he wrote a story called Swapna Vilas, wherein Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the pastime of a dream. If you go to Niduban, there is a very beautiful little temple called Ranga Mahal, where Radha Krishna would go to rest. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains one time they were sleeping there and Srimati Radharani had a dream. She woke up and she said to Krishna, I have to tell you this dream that I just had. You have shown me so many of the different ways that you appear within this world. You've shown me your form of Ram and Varaha and Narasingha, and you've shown me your form of Narayan. But the form I saw in this dream was unlike any I've ever seen. I saw a beautiful golden form, more beautiful than any other incarnation. This golden form was dancing ecstatically right on the banks of a river that looked just like the Yamuna. And it was in a forest that looked just like the Vrindavan forest. And I saw all around you were thousands of people chanting and singing, and they were playing mridangas and karatals, the same types of instruments we play in Vrindavan. This golden form was a Brahmin. His arms were raised. Long, long, beautiful hair. And as he was chanting in kirtan, it seemed like he was flooding the whole universe with love of God. And sometimes this beautiful golden form Brahman was crying out, "Oh, my Lord Krishna, where are you?" And sometimes I heard him crying out, "Oh, my beloved Radha, where are you?" And I was thinking, when he was chanting, "Oh my Krishna, where are you?" that he was me. And as he was chanting, "Oh Radha, where are you?" that he was you. Can you tell me? Who is this person? Krishna, he lifted his Kastuba Mani from his chest and told Srimati Radharani to look within it. When she looked, she saw the exact same pastime that was in her dream. She saw this beautiful form of the Lord as Gauranga, singing and dancing, sometimes crying out for Krishna and sometimes crying out for Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani said, she said, "Now I can understand that you are going, that we are both going to combine. The two of us are going to become one, and we are going to incarnate in this age of Kali Yuga to spread our love throughout the world through the congregational chanting of our holy names." Gargamuni told us. That you have appeared in different colors in different ages. You appeared in a white color, in a red color, in a yellow color, and now you're appearing in this darkish, bluish color. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this age of Kali, Krishna, to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love and to distribute that love to the world, the love of Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and all of their descendants, when they came here to Vrindavan, they were preparing for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread throughout the world. And then came that historical day, Friday, the 13th of August, 1965, when Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. What did he have with him? About 40 rupees, which could not be changed outside of India. He had his japa beads, an umbrella, and box of books. Srimad Bhagavatam. It was at Radha Damodar Temple that for years he worked, as His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was telling us yesterday, to write these books with commentaries and translations. Because the six Goswamis, the very foundation and the basis of all of their writings and the lives that they lived was the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed to be the Amalam Puranam, the spotless Pramana, the crest jewel, the cream of all Vedic literatures. Srila Prabhupada told a disciple when he came off the Jaladuta after 38 days at sea, heart attack, seasickness, as he was coming down from the ship, he didn't know if anyone was going to be there to help him. He didn't know whether he should go right or left, but he felt complete confidence. Because he knew that he had the blessings of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and he had the holy name of Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya was living here, he was staying at a Kuruta Ghat. Yesterday, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj explained to us the ecstatic happiness of compassion that Prabhupada had when he had completed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. 17 volumes in hardly a year and a half. Therein, Srila Prabhupada has given us the story of Lord Chaitanya's living in Vrindavan. In the mornings, he would sit at Imlital, an ancient tamarind tree from the time of Lord Krishna. The story of that tree is during one of Krishna's many rasa leelas in Vrindavan, when Sri Radharani had left the arena of the rasa dance and Krishna left all the other gopis to search for her. He sat under this holy kalpa vriksha tamarind tree on the bank of Yamuna, and feeling such intense love in separation, he was crying out Srimati Radharani's holy names. Vrindavan is the abode of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotee. In the many, many Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan, in his many forms, is the supreme controller, the supreme object of worship of everyone, infinite beings. But Vrindavan, which is Madhurya Dham, is the place where the supreme controller reveals to the world that his greatest happiness is being controlled by the love of his devotees. This is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once in a day of Brahma,
and a night. Brahma's day and night is 8,640,000,000 years. At those intervals, Lord Krishna appears in his original transcendental form as the Lord of Vrindavan and reveals the pastimes of Vrindavan to this world. And once in every day and night of Brahma, in Kali Yuga following, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. There in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the reasoning of Krishna's appearance in the world is revealed to us. He says, throughout all the great religions of the world and the Vedic followers, people honor me and worship me through mantra and tantra and yantra and mupuja and mudra as the supreme king. But love for me is crippled in my heart by the recognition of my supreme majestic powers. I will descend into the world to reveal the love of Vrindavan, where I am conquered and controlled by my devotees. Where the gopas, my little friends, they play with me, and they joke with me, and they chastise me, and they jump on me, and sometimes they wrestle with me, and they defeat me, and I carry them on my shoulders to show everyone in Vrindavan, I have been defeated by Sri Dhamma. And Mother Yashoda, she ties me with the rope of her love, and I become like a prisoner of her love. And the gopis, through their glances and their smiles and sometimes their chastisements, I'm like a puppet, controlled by their devotion. And the supreme ultimate reservoir of all the love of Vrindavan is the Vladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of Srimati Radharani, who is the feminine aspect of the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Vishaya Vigraha, the supreme object of all love. And Sri Radha is the Ashraya Vigraha, the supreme abode of all love. Krishna revealed to the world, and it has come down to us through Srimad Bhagavatam, the love of Vrindavan. Under the Imlital, Sri Chaitanya, or Lord Krishna, was feeling so much separation from Sri Radha's love. He could not live without the love of Radha. This is rasa. How could Krishna not live? He's the source of all life. He's sat. He's eternal forever. Every living being, mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are only existing because we're infinitesimal tiny little particles of Krishna. But yet Krishna's thinking, feeling that I cannot live without the love of Radha. And he was crying out Radha's name in separation, and he became so totally immersed in separation from her that absorption, his beautiful bluish complexion turned the golden color of Radharani's body. And at that time, Srimati Radharani and her gopis came and they saw Krishna in a golden form, weeping tears, crying out Radha's names. And Srimati Radharani asked him,
What am I seeing? And Krishna said, in the age of Kali, I am going to appear. Feeling the ecstasy of your love, manifesting the beauty of your complexion, and through bhakti, prema bhakti, I am going to enlighten the world with the inner rasas of Vrindavan and inundate the hearts of countless people with your love through the chanting of the holy name. We should follow the Lord's guidelines at this time and dance, chant together in Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you very much.